Thank you. You didn't sound that excited, but that's okay. Yeah, that's better. Welcome back to all those who have been away holidaying. I hope you come back refreshed, blessed, encouraged. We'll let the children settle down and parents calm down and Russell be quiet. This week, the church was robbed, but we're thankful that nobody was hurt. We're still trying to figure out how much was taken, but we believe it's in the thousands. We've heard that the money that was taken was used for holidays and trips and buying designer clothes. The worst thing about it is that it was done in broad daylight on Sunday by God-fearing people. And I think you know where I'm going with this. Malachi chapter 3. You say, how did we rob you? Well, this is what God says. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. May God bless his word this morning, his holy, infallible, eternal word to our hearts. Amen. Our time has moved along quite well, and we've actually seen my sermon illustrated here this morning. It wasn't really my plan, but God organized it. So I just want to say, last week, Helmut talked on tithing, but he was talking about choices. The last few weeks, we've been in Malachi, and if you just remember, it was PJ's message on commitment, and I spoke about where is my honor, or just that whole thing of apathy. The opposite of love isn't hate, it's just apathy, just not caring, and giving God his honor, what he's due, and his best. And last week, Helmut spoke on choices, godly choices. It's up to us. And I wrote him, and I meant it. When I preached up in Grand Prairie a few weeks ago, a couple months back, whenever it was, and when I was done, Travis came, and he said, you know, that was a, and he's saying to the congregation, that was a real grandfather word. And I'm like, I've never had that said about me before. I didn't mind, you know, your father in the house kind of word, but a grandfather word. But I wrote to Helmut, and I just said, he really had a grandfather word for our house. And what I meant by that is someone who's lived a lot of life and history, and they just share what's real in their life and how God has spoken to them and dealt with them in the area of finance and in the area of choice. If you're here last week, you know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, you can download it. And just the importance of those choices that we make. And it's up to us. And there was no condemnation. There was no battering people. It was just truth from his life and from the Word of God. And I really appreciate that. And this morning, I'm back in Malachi. As I said, we've been jumping the chapters a little bit. And my chapter is back in chapter 3. And I'm talking about how we treat God, if for lack of a better title. How are you treating God? How do you treat him and the things that matter to him? And so I have 4 points. You can put it on there. The first one, it'll help to remind me. Quicker than that. Okay, we don't have any points. That was actually, that's about as fast as it should be today. That's not working for me, so I will. Okay. All I wanted to say, you know, back in, you can go back to that other one. That's where I wanted to start. Thank you. Don't listen to everything that people say. You know, the people will get you in trouble. But in Malachi's day, they're up there, I think. They've become bored with God. The priests had become unfaithful. Next screen. Divorce was commonplace. Businessmen were defrauding their workers, cheating their customers, taking advantage of the widows and orphans. and so on. In the setting that Malachi wrote in is what I was saying a few weeks ago, is people had they'd come back to the nation of Israel. God had judged them. They're back in the promised land. It's not what it was, but they're there. They're rebuilding. And then people just become apathetic. They become used to doing the least. Just coming, doing the ritual, putting in the time, bringing the sick lambs and, you know, the things that we said before. And just not honoring God. And the priests were involved and the families were involved and people were, it's just, and yet the worst thing they could do was they robbed God. And they robbed them in their tithes and in their offerings. And so the first point is the tithe is the minimum. It's 10%. It's, you know, and we could talk all day on it, and I don't want to this morning, but there's a principle in God's word of bringing your first fruits, bringing your best, and it's not an offering. It's paying, it's taking. And the people in the Old Testament don't give their tithe, but they repaid it to the owner. The words that are used is taking, presenting, or even paying their tithes. No one ever said, you know, I feel led to tithe. It was explicit. It was ordained. It was ordered by God. And that's how they took care of the needs. And he said, you've been robbing me by withholding, giving the least, bringing less. And the attitude of the people had become, how can we do the least? Or how can we give and still keep, you know, give the least we can and still keep God happy? The second one, you can see I'm going to move really fast. The curse came from disobedience. In verse 9, it says, you're under curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. I need to cut in here. Today, we don't live under the law. We are not under a curse. Jesus took the curse. He broke it. He shed his blood to set us free. We live under grace. We live under a new dispensation of who God or how God relates to us through his son Jesus. And at the same time, we're not above the law ourselves. We are above it through Christ. It's fulfilled through him. So what I'm trying to say is we fulfill the law by going beyond it, by being better than the law. And I've often used the example of breaking the law in the city. I don't live in fear of the laws of the city because I live beyond them, except maybe speeding. And don't laugh, children. You know what I mean? But I don't fear the police are going to come and get me for murder. You know, it's not something I'm doing. And when it comes to tithing, you know, is that the New Testament standard? Yes and no. It's a basis. It's the minimum. It's there. It was the law that was demanded in the Old Testament. And when we come to the New Testament, we are free from the duty of it. We are free from the condemnation of the law because we outclass the law. We do better than the law. We give generously. We give proportionally. We give all the ways the New Testament talks about. And yet that tithe is the basis that's there. And I've heard people say it and preach on it and teach on it that, you know, as soon as you start telling people they must do something or they should do something, you know, you're condemning them and you're putting them back under the law. But that's not really true. Jesus said, you know, Paul said it first. He said, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Jesus puts it this way. He says, you know, if you love me, keep my commandments, do them. And I'm just losing the other verse, but it was like, doing. Go just do a word study of doing. We as Christians are called to do good, do not grow weary in well-doing. That means we're doing stuff. We're called to do stuff. We're called to live stuff out and to obey God and to walk out this Christian life. That's not condemnation. Here's the difference between Old Testament and New Testament. It's the attitude of the heart. And everything we talk about when we come to giving and tithing and being faithful to God and not robbing him, we're talking about the attitude of your heart. Because you can be giving lots and not with joy, not with love in your heart. And it's just like a clanging cymbal. It's just like this. It's not blessed money. Or you can be giving littler amounts, but it's from a joyful, obedient, faithful heart, and it's blessed money. Do you understand? God He's kind of leveled the playing field for everyone, whether it's the widow with the two mites or the rich young ruler who walked away sad. Everybody has the opportunity to be faithful to God. And we heard about it last week, and I don't want to repeat it again, but just you choose how you're going to honor God with your finance, with your first fruits, with the best that you have in your life. And it goes through all areas of your life. So we rest in the new covenant Christ initiated in his blood. He freed us from the curse of the law. And it's because of what he did for us that we should willingly and gladly obey and just go beyond the law. We give hilariously. We give joyfully. We don't just give grudgingly. We don't just give the least. So that's what we did. And I said it a couple of weeks ago, and I'll just repeat this question, but what are you giving to God to work with in your life? In terms of faith, in terms of obedience, in terms of generosity. You know, these laws of Scripture of reaping and sowing. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Like, those are laws like gravity. It doesn't, you know, you can't plant wild oats and expect, you know, a great harvest. You can't sow little bits and then in the fall hope that there's going to be this massive harvest. It doesn't happen. As you give, so shall you receive, the Bible says. So only we're talking about how we treat God. First of all, we don't want to just give him the minimum. Secondly, we don't want to live under this curse. And what I mean by that in the New Testament is when we rob God, how do you rob God? God owns everything. But you rob God of the opportunity to pour out blessing, to meet a need, to intervene in your circumstance. That's why I asked that question. What are you giving God to work with? You don't even ask. You don't trust. You don't obey. You don't be generous. Whatever area of life you're in, if you don't give God something to work with, you know, we were singing these songs earlier today, shout, praise his name, the name that, you know, and that's before you see anything happen. You give him that opportunity to say, I'm going to trust you. And I've shared our testimony of coming back to Canada and Jehoshaphat and that whole message of how Jehoshaphat, the Bible, you know, the word of the Lord came to him and said, the battle's not yours. You just go, you show up that day, you sing, you pray, you be faithful, and you'll see what God does. And God brings victory to Jehoshaphat's life. And it wasn't because, you know, he saw the victory first and the enemy scattered and he couldn't even figure out how it was going to happen. He just was faithful to what God had called him to do. And he went there and he took his family and all the kids and they stood there before the enemy and they started to think, forever God is faithful, forever God is true. And confusion hit the enemy and they started killing each other and you know the whole story. But that happened by faith. That happened by trusting God. That happened by obeying him, by being faithful to him. So number three, the storehouse represents God's work in verse 10. He says, bring the full tithe, the tenth, into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. In Israel, people brought their tithes of grain, olives, wine, and meat to the store in the temple. And these goods supported the priests. You can put it up there. I think the list is next. Please be there. The priests, the Levites, those serving God. The goods also met the needs of the poor in the community. And thirdly, the goods met the expenses of the temple. When we were registering as a church, we had to fill in all these big documents, and we were trying to, you know, be very spiritual and lay out what a dream for the church was and how we were going to change the community. And we had, you know, we were trying to impress the government so they would like us and they would give us credential, the qualification, whatever, the registration. And they kept coming back with recommendations. Till finally, they said, "You guys aren't getting it." This is my words, but that's, I got the letters to this day. "Write this." Number one, you're going to teach the tenets of the faith and cover those who do that. Number two, you're going to, maintain a house of worship. Number three, meet the ordinary needs of the poor. So we wrote that in, accepted. It's like they were reading Malachi. That's what our giving and our tithing and our offerings are to do. And I could repeat what was said last week, and I don't want to. We want to be faithful to God and what He's planned. And what I would add to this is, God never intended churches to be financed, the kingdom of God to be financed, the ministries that God blesses and has called for to be financed by bingos and raffles and cake sales. It's financed by God's people faithfully serving and obeying God. Does that make sense? And I would be doing you a disservice as a leader of this church if we never talked about being faithful, and Helmut said it much nicer last week, but if we never challenge you in the area of faithfully paying your tithes. Tithes is that first fruits that you take off and it belongs to God. You're not giving it, you're repaying it. It's His. It's not a question. It's not something you ask, should we? I don't know, is our finances okay? Is it not? It belongs to God. Then offerings are what you do after that. And I know people, and I've had seasons in my life when we've been able to give God His, and we've been able to give offerings, we've been able to set aside some for savings, and you get your life in order. And it doesn't start when you've made your fortune. It starts in Bible school, Matthew. It starts when you get your first paycheck. It starts with the first money you get for allowance, that you set in your heart, this belongs to God. Because the enemy's going to come at you all the time in the area of finance. And the reason it's so important is because finance is hooked to us and to our value and to who we are. We work so many hours, we get so much value. We do so much whatever, it has this value. It's how we put value on our day, value on our time, value on our energy and what we do. And so we take that and we say, this belongs to God. It's actually all God's, but I'm going to give His portion to Him, and He's blessed me with this. And that's God's intention, to finance the kingdom of God. And I could wax eloquently for a long time on that. But the purpose of the tithe is to support God's work. But listen to this line, I like this. But primarily the purpose for the tithe is to put God first in my life. That's what it's first for. To force me, to challenge me, to put Him first in my life. Anything that comes to do with discipline, that comes to do with practically anything good in this world, in life, takes discipline, takes a decision, takes a choice, takes a stand, takes someone stepping up and saying, no, this is how we're going to lead our home and our family. And I can hear the pushback, not here because we have amazing, beautiful people, but I can hear that pushback of, yeah, but you're condemning people. No, I'm not. We are commanded to do good. We are commanded to not grow weary in doing right. When we live under grace, it doesn't just mean we quit doing the things of God. If that were true, none of us would preach. None of us would go into the world. None of us would share the gospel. None of us would be generous. But we're called to don't grow weary in those good things. Do them for the kingdom of God. Be faithful to Him. I like this verse in Deuteronomy 14. I don't think it's on there. So that you will always learn to fear the Lord. He says this, each year you are to set aside a tenth of all the produce grown in your fields, so that you will always learn to fear the Lord your God. There's something about being reminded every month to fear God. to put him first, to keep him first in everything that I'm doing, including my finance, especially in my finance. Number four, the test, he says, test me. And I was talking to someone up here at the front just now, and we're praying for them, and I'll just leave my notes because it was more interesting what I was saying here than what was in my notes. Felt more anointed. But he says, test me. He causes God to be tested, challenges God to bless. He says, test me. I dare you, make a game out of it. Make a game show out of it. See who can outbless you or me. This is God talking. And I'm telling you, in your lifetime, you will never be able to outgive God. You will never be able to do better than God can do back to you. You can never love him more than he'll love you. You'll never outgive God, ever. And when you give him something to work with, watch out what he'll do. And I read all kinds of illustrations. I had all kinds of sermon illustrations, but I'll just simply put it this way. God's measurements are much bigger than ours. And the story was a kid taking, you know, the store owner with the candies says, help yourself to the candies. And he's too shy, so the store owner says, okay. And he digs in and he gives the kid a handful. And when they left, the father said, why didn't you take some? And he said, because his hands are bigger than mine. I want what God wants to bless my life with. I have a plan, you know, my little schemes and my little, and trust me, it's not wrong to have plans. But man, when I think of what God can do, and any time we've ever tested him, I appreciate Helmut's testimony this morning, but any time in my life that I have tested God in this way and said, God, I don't know how we're going to do it, but I know you said do it. I know you said go. I know you said give. I know you. I'm going to trust you. Never have I been disappointed. It's not always been what I thought, but his ways are always way, way better than our ways. And it comes, he says, test me. And the last one is, I think it's the last one, number five, is the rewards are out of this world. He says, won't I just open the gates of heaven? Yeah, right. Here's the kicker. Do you want to live under an open heaven? He says, test me. Test me. Man, if we could, there's so many testimonies in this church, and I could share my testimonies of how it wasn't because I was smart, it wasn't because I knew what I was doing or I had some inside scoop. God blessed miraculously in my life. And there's many times when I thought, man, you could have done a little better there, Lord. You know, it's like, even those times, God said, I am faithful. I will show you what my plans are. And then many times he shows me how stupid I was. Or my wife does. Somebody does. We support each other all the 100%. Just don't start restaurants. You can't outgive God. I got a note here. I said I should speak about the prosperity gospel. I have no problem with the prosperity gospel, except that it gets perverted. The devil perverts it, what prosperity really is. But there is truth to test me. When God says, test me, prove me, you will see. And when he says we are robbing him, really we are robbing him of the opportunity to show himself. That's the robbery of it. Yeah, there's the side of it that we're not treating God well when we hold back what belongs to him, whatever area it's in. But he says, test me as a good father. Test me. You'll be amazed. And I you know, we prayed for folk this morning. I thank you for your generosity. I'm talking to the choir. We have a generous church. But I know there's people in this church. You need to learn to tithe. You need to learn to give. And I don't know who you are because I don't look at the finances. I could ask Russell today. It's my right as a leader. But I like being able to look at all of you right in the face and be able to say, I don't know what you give. I don't know what you did last year.
it's between you and God. You know, I was telling that story about the church was robbed. I couldn't keep the story going long enough. But I wanted to end with, you know, we don't know who the thieves are, but God does. And there's a record in heaven and reward and all of those good things. And it's not only now, but it's laying up treasure. And there's all these amazing things. And if we would just be faithful to God in it, you will see. Part of the adventure of Christianity, you know, I'm getting off the topic, but you talk about prosperity, and we joke about some of the big guys and their airplanes, and I think, why don't I have faith for an airplane? What's wrong with me? But that's the point, is that God wants to pour out his blessing on us. And he wants us to be faithful with it. Faithful with little, he'll give us much. And we're faithful with that, and he can trust us with much. And there's all those principles of Scripture. And I'm asking you, as believers in this house, do not rob God. Trust him. Allow him, give him something to work with in your life. If it's prayer, if it's generosity, if it's faithfulness, it's obedience, whatever it is. And that's what makes Christianity exciting. And we can't ever lose that. I know that there's times when, you know, when I think of the call of God to go to Africa, I think of the call of God to move to South Africa, I think of the call of God to come back to Canada, there's those big lightning bolt moments. But I'm telling you, there's hundreds of little moments when you can bless someone, when you can tell someone God's faithful, you can help someone in need, you can do something in the kingdom. You can give sacrificially and do it as unto God with joy in your life, and then stand back and watch what God does. And watch how he blesses your life. And we've heard all the testimonies, so I just want to encourage you this morning, as we have prayed for people and as we've sung, that powerful name of Jesus, speak it over your finances, speak it over your handling of your money. Speak it over your business. Speak it over your family. God intends to bless us. And he's calling us to be faithful to him and treat him well. How are you treating God? Are you treating God well? Are you treating him the way he deserves? With your heart, with your attitude, with your life? Because a message like this on giving, on finances, can go real legalistic really fast. But I've already said it. The difference is the attitude of the heart. We do this stuff. We do it with the right attitude. We outgive the Old Testament and their sick goats. We give our best because we love God. And we see the kingdom of God prosper. We see the work of God around the world. I pray we'll see more people going to visit the guys we support in Ethiopia, and guys will get to South Africa, and guys will get to Mexico, and guys will see some of the things that you and I are part of in this world. Amen. It's been a good morning. And I pray in Jesus' name that if you are not faithful with your finances in the area of giving to God, paying your tithes and giving offerings and alms and blessing, in Jesus' name, change. In Jesus' name, let him speak to you. He has to convince you. He has to convince you. This is not a guilt trip. This is not someone angry. This is not me speaking out of need. This is the truth of God's word. This is a grandfather word. If I was talking to my sons, if I was talking to my grandsons, I'd be saying this. You be faithful your whole life. You'll see the faithfulness of God. We're not cursed, we're blessed. And I want to live under an open heaven. So Father, thank you this morning for this amazing church of people. Thank you for your family. Thank you for your blessing. And as we think of the words of Malachi, God, may we be committed to you. May we not be apathetic. May we make those choices that matter in life. And Father, may we treat you well this week. May our hearts be right before you this week, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Come and have some coffee. If you would like prayer, we're still here to pray. But it's been a good morning. Bless you.